Welcome to the Foster Parent Well podcast, where we have real, candid, faith-filled conversations about all things foster care, adoption, and trauma. I'm your host, Nicole T. Barlow. I'm a certified parent trainer, a certified health coach, and an adoptive parent myself. This is a space where you can find support so that you can care for your kids with a steadfast faith, endurance, and joy. I want you to foster parent well. So let's jump in. Welcome to the Foster Parent Well podcast. In this episode, we're going to be talking about the dynamics in marriage within the context of parenting in foster care and adoption. We are not created to do life alone. We are meant for community. In Genesis, God created Adam, but God saw that Adam needed help, so he created a helper for him, Eve. And whether it is marriage or other types of community, we need to be able to rely on the gifts of others in order to thrive in our own purpose. We should be doing life with other people. The dynamics of marriage, though, specifically in parenting, are different than other relationships. You are living in close proximity to one another and really able to see each other's flaws. And you should, hopefully, share a voice in the way that your household works and how you parent. Today, I'm grateful to be speaking with my good friend, Jennifer Haynes. Jennifer's been on the podcast before, but she has such wisdom to share when it comes to marriage. Jennifer is married to her high school sweetheart, Steven, and they have 7 beautiful kids together. So, Jennifer, welcome back to the podcast.
It is joy to be here. Anytime I can be in the same space with you fills my heart. So I feel a little bit of pressure that I need to add something to what you already bring to the world, but I'm so excited to be here.
So Jennifer is like my partner in crime. She is everything that I am not. Like, I will research and look at the science behind everything until my brain runs dry. Jennifer is all things implementation. She is joy. She just brings so much fun to her family. I love the two of us when we have the opportunity to come together.
Yin and yang, right?
That is right. All right. So, Jennifer, tell me a little bit about your family and how you got involved with foster care and adoption.
Okay. I am married to the real Prince Charming. We have 7 kids. And if he would hear, he would tell you, because I can't keep my hands off of him. So adorable. But when he's not around, I say I have 8 kids, the one I married and the 7 we have together. So, it's all your perspective, right?
That's right. I love that.
So we have 4 biological kids and 3 adopted kids. Our biological kids have pretty much flown the coop. And so our nest is kind of filled with our kiddos that need a little extra support, but we are thriving. I mean, sometimes just surviving, but always working towards thriving.
That's awesome. How did you and your husband meet?
We are high school sweethearts. We had met a little bit while I was in high school because we went to rival high schools and he dated a couple of girls that were from my school. And so I always heard about how fun he was. And then the summer after I graduated from high school, we ended up at the same event. And the rest is history. We've pretty much been inseparable for, 35 years. We've been married for almost 31.
I love the two of you together and just how you talk about Steven, how you talk about your husband. So I knew when we were going to have a podcast episode where we were talking about marriage, I knew that you were the person to talk about it because I think you guys do this better than anybody that I know.
Thank you. That's a high compliment.
I know that you put marriage on the top of your priority list. right?
Absolutely.
Especially yes. as you're parenting kids from trauma. Yes. So why is that? Why, what came about that made you say, hey, I want this to be a top priority?
I think that my view of marriage kind of comes from my family as a foundation. My grandparents were married for a long time. My parents have been married for a long time. I think that as we moved around in our early marriage, we had to rely on each other super heavily because we didn't have a support system all the time. Sometimes we just had each other. And yeah. then as our kids were born, I think God revealed to us that we had a responsibility to be a covering for them, that our bond that was sewn together with a reliance on the Lord really covered our kids and protected them. And so that became a very big priority to us. Not that we can do it on our own or that we're capable of that, but that we could come into a kind of a three-chord relationship with God in yeah. order to be that foundation for our kids.
How do you guys stay on the same page when it comes to parenting, right? Because I think when you first get married, like you're building a relationship with one another, but then as you have children, as you bring children into your family, sometimes the dynamics change and your individual personalities and leanings come into play a little bit more. So how do you guys stay on the same page with both your marriage and your parenting?
I think having a understanding of what our gifts are, what we bring to the marriage and what we bring to our family is really important. Mm. I am keenly aware that Stephen is thoughtful in his responses. He is wise. He is he's brilliant. Like he's literally like Mensa smart. Like he's literally brilliant. And I am more of fun loving. Let's just ditch it and have a party. I mean, like we literally have something in our family called the theme night where I go to the party store and buy like all of the things that have to do with a theme. And we throw a party like it's somebody's birthday, even though it's not. I think that he, as we've had resources to allocate to the fun, he's been incredibly generous with that. But on the other side, you know, like kind of a keystone in who we are as a couple, that I also lean into his wisdom and that he thinks things out. And so we have deep discussions where we have to kind of make lists of what the priorities are when we're making a decision. I think the other thing that's been successful as a family is, and in our marriage, is having meals together yeah. and having meals together that don't have to do with stress. It's not a time where we talk about somebody's behavior, that we all have a voice at the table. There have been times in our family where it's been very formal and we've taken notes and we have these notebooks. But sometimes it's just about that intentional time where our kids get to see how we interact with each other, even if we're not getting along, that they yeah. see that whole process, I think has been very valuable.
Oh, I love that. And I love that you brought up, like, even when you're not getting along, because I think that that's so important for our children to see the real us, to see conflict in relationship is going to happen, but yes. how do we walk through that, right?
Yes.
And
yes.
and I think it gives them such a healthy perspective of what marriage should be. Marriage yes. is not without conflict. So I love what? You mean what? You and Prince yep. Charming
listen,
have conflict?
We are passionate people, like yeah. in the positive sense of it and sometimes in the negative sense of it. So we bring it all. I mean, our relationship has always been that way. And I think we learned early on that we used to fight in private. Like we didn't want our kids to see that.
Sure.
We were, I don't know, shame. I don't know what it was. Probably on my part because I knew I was probably wrong and I was going to have to recant some of the stuff that was said and done.
Yeah.
But I think that we learned that it was okay to not get along all the time. Right. And that was pie in the sky. Like our kids, even in their friendships, were not getting along all the time. They needed to see in relationship how to be loving and kind, even when you don't agree.
Yeah. And I think that puts a lot of responsibility on us. I mean, even as you're just talking, I'm like, gosh, what responsibility does that put on you to make sure that you're modeling healthy confrontation, right? Yes. Instead of, I know I kind of fly off the handle, right?
Sometimes. Me too.
And so really, I mean, that puts a lot of responsibility on us as the parents, as the adults in the room, to make sure that we're doing a good job of modeling right. healthy confrontation with our children.
Because it's going to happen.
Yeah.
I mean.
Sure.
You've got two people. Early in our marriage, we had a therapist tell us, if you both agree, one of you's not needed. So.
Oh, wow.
You know, that's pretty impactful to think that we bring different, because we are so similar in our faith and so similar in the structure of who we are, but we come at life so differently that we really do have to listen to one another, because sometimes it is wise to be still and to think through things. And sometimes it's wise to have a party and we've got to figure out which one is best in the moment.
I love that. I always talk about that in training too. I think it's when we train foster and adoptive parents and you have these couples that come to the table, I think it's always so interesting to see the dynamics of the people that the Lord brings together. That usually there is one spouse that has one kind of personality type and another spouse that has a different personality type. I know that's true of my husband and I as well. I always say, like, I jump off of every cliff that comes my way, right? Yeah, if there's any opportunity to get involved in something, foster care, adoption, whatever it is, it doesn't matter. I am jumping off the cliff. And my husband is more prone to be cautious and reserved and to say no to things. And so the Lord brings us together so that I keep him from sitting on the couch and he keeps me from jumping off of every cliff that exists, right?
Yes.
And so it's so interesting to see. I love in trainings, when you go into trainings, you see that dynamic is present
Absolutely.
In so many couples, but it's so needed to have both perspectives.
I agree.
Well, what kinds of things do you guys do to support one another, to make sure that each person has a voice and each person feels loved and valued and supported?
I think it comes through, I would say three things. One is that we understand each other's temperaments. So I understand when he makes a decision or when he says something, I understand where that comes from. And I can speak his language to say, I agree with that, or have you thought of another perspective? And he understands my temperament as well. He understands that I'm going to make a more emotional decision and I'm going to look at things kind of through rose-colored glasses sometimes, and that he needs to sometimes speak logic and wisdom into my world, so that we have a respect for each other's temperament, I think is really, really important. And we study those things. You know, we study what an Enneagram means. We are real interested in that, like what makes us tick. And we don't use that as an excuse. Well, I'm just, you know, I'm a 7 Enneagram, so I'm just not going to think through things. Like, that's not an excuse. Like, it has to be understanding why we do things and how we can complement each other through those things. I think the other thing is that we are highly committed to spending time alone. We structure our family time so that we spend a concentrated amount of time with our kids in the evening, but they go to bed. They go to bed and they are in bed and we have some time alone. We're very, very into, not that that happens every day.
Sure.
You know, as we introduced kids into our home, we had to kind of adjust those things. But that's always the goal, is that we have time together every day to decompress, to hear about each other's day. And that we have a weekly date night. And sometimes that just means he brings home something for dinner. We eat on the porch by ourselves. Sometimes it means we go out. Like, whatever that is, we have a weekly date night. Very, very important. And our kids have gotten involved over the years on, you know, what our date night looks like and how they can be a part of it. It's been very, very sweet. And I think just a mutual respect and pouring into one another, going back to what those love languages look like. Like, what is it? How do you hear that I love you? You know, to me, Stephen, we actually took the love language class very early on in our marriage, and he raised his hand and he goes, what if your wife is all the love languages? And I was like, hey, I see that as a gift. Like, you can do anything and I'm good with it. He goes, no, it means I have to do all of it and all of it well. Like, no, I mean, it's just what, how you look at it. But just knowing, like, how do I speak your language and being intentional about it, I think has been a really big important part of what makes us who we are.
Yeah. Well, and then, so then how do you intentionally invest in that other person? How do you invest in your time together? And I know you said, you know, making sure that you have weekly date nights and time with each other. But are there other things that you do to make sure that you're investing in that marriage?
I think, like, the nitty gritty of it is, like, for example, Stephen really thrives on words of affirmation. Okay. So I don't understand.
Girl, he's my love language too. I love it.
He loves it. And he's so smart. And he's always thinking, like, high level. Like, he does, you know, $1 million deals all the time. Like, he's always, you know, he's always thinking. He's always doing. He loves, if he's bored, he's doing a Rubik's Cube. Like, he's so weird. Like, why? Just rest. But he loves that. Like, a puzzle is his favorite. And so I don't understand that. And sometimes I sit in the hot tub with him. I have no clue what he's talking about. He's like going on. He knows so much about astronomy and how, you know, the Nephilim and all of these things, because he's super, like, he studies. I mean, we share the same Audible account, and sometimes Audible will say, well, based on your selection, I'm like, oh, no, that's not my selection. Like, I'm kind of a historical fiction girl. Like, this, that is not my idea. But I try very hard to ask questions and to not challenge him in an unkind way, but to be a challenge to him. Well, can you explain that to me? If I wanted to explain that to the kids, how would I do that? And really give a lot of time and attention to what interests him, and reminding him that he is incredible. Because this is truly the way I feel, like, withholding nothing good, I think, is an important part of what we do as a couple. He withholds nothing good from me. My grandmother was my person. Like, she was my, she did just invested in me. And she passed away. It's been almost 5 years ago. Her birthday was just a couple of weeks ago. And Stephen showed up with this ginormous bouquet of flowers just to honor the feelings that I was going through and missing her. Like, he's very intentional. I mean, you know, with what I love and what I care about, and he just withholds nothing good from me. And I do that, try to do that in return for him.
I love that, withholding nothing good from one another. And the word intentionality, right? That you guys are just very intentional to see that other person and to make sure that they know that they are loved, which is just amazing. So how does having a strong marriage make parenting with kids with trauma easier? If anything makes it easier, but
anything makes it easier. I think that we've always known we had each other's back.
Yeah.
And I think that we could tag each other in and out. I think we've been able to say, hey, you need a break. Like, you need a walk, you need a bubble bath, you need something to, you know, reframe and to be able to step in and help each other. And I think that sometimes we get into a habit of commiserating, like, in our, in our time together. Yep. Sometimes we'll go, okay, that's enough talking about the kids. Like, we're on the same page. This is hard.
Yeah.
We've tried to come up with a way to run away. It doesn't look like it's going to work. So let's figure out we're going to do this.
That's right.
I think we hold each other accountable to our gifts, because I often feel like you said, jumping off a cliff. Oh, we can do anything. You know, this is going to be great. And then I realize, whoa, this is super scary. And I probably should have hitched a rope to something before I jumped off.
Right.
And he's like, I got you. Cause I thought, saw you're going to do that. And I did hook you up to something. So I think leaning in when we're weak and being vulnerable with each other is really important.
Yeah. I love that you brought that up too, because I think, you know, our tendencies to jump off the cliff or to be more cautious really can come into play once we're actually walking through hard things. I know for me, when we first started, you know, I'm jumping into foster care, both feet, without looking back, just jumping off the cliff. And Bruce was much more cautious as we walked forward, you know, really thinking through and praying through each step of the process. And when we actually began, I panicked. And I'm like, oh no, we can't do this. This is too hard. And he was much more steady because he had already processed through those things.
Yes.
And so, you know, we could lean on each other in that. So I'm glad that you brought that up too, because I think those of us that do have the personality to jump off of the cliffs, right? We need those steady partners to kind of calm us when we panic after we've jumped.
I've often said, I get to my end of my rope and he's there going, I got you, babe. Like, I knew you were coming here. So it's very sweet. But I also feel like he models for our kids, not only am I their mother, but I'm his wife.
Yeah.
So if you're being disrespectful, it's not that you've been disrespectful to your mom. You've been disrespectful to my wife.
Yeah.
So I feel like he is a protector of me in that way. And then in turn, I can make sure that our kids have that respect for what he brings to the table. Like, your dad is so wise. He's already thought through that. You know, we need to give dad what he has earned as far as respect goes. So I think in that way, I think we've communicated to our kids, like, we're on the same team. Like, you cannot, don't, I actually remember, cause our bio kids, like, that has been a theme the whole time. Like, don't ask me something, don't like the answer and ask dad. Like, that's never been tolerated.
Right.
And as we got kids in our family whose survival skills required them to gain constituency, our bio kids were like ultimate sin. Like, did mom tell you no and you asked dad? Like, oh my gosh, this is not okay.
Yes.
But working through that has been really important. We are on the same team. Like, we might have to retreat to discuss, but whatever we come at you with is, we're a united front. And I think that's a positive thing for kids.
Oh, I agree. I think that can actually bring so much safety, felt safety to our children, because ultimately kids need parents to be in control so that they are safe. They need to learn that they can trust, you know, safe adults to care for them. And with you guys being a united front, it is more of a safety net. It's a bigger safety net than, you know, the two of you being divided.
But I think that other people, I mean, that's how we do it in marriage, but you and I have met some extraordinary single moms or single dads, you know, in our career as training. And you can accomplish that same thing with your community, with the people that you rely on. So I feel like we have it in our home, but I know a lot of successful single parents that accomplish the very same thing, just through a different avenue.
Oh, I completely agree. I think any of these things that we're talking about today can be accomplished with single parents that are parenting with community. I think we all need community, and with us. I mean, I see the dynamics between you and I kind of in that way too. I think that's why we're such good friends, because we have different personalities that have different strengths, and we can lean on and rely on each other for wisdom in the things that we bring to the table in the same way that you would in your marriage.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
I think that's awesome. Have there been times where your marriage has suffered because of this ministry that you're in?
Absolutely. I mean, we have definitely, because you don't do any of this in a vacuum. You know, sometimes you're parenting kids, there's a job loss, there's a funeral to go to, there's, you know, money strains, there's, you know, something going on with another child. Like, it just sometimes seems to all fall at the same time. And I think our natural, or my natural way of dealing with that, is sometimes retreat and to go into myself and try to figure it out on my own. And I think that Stephen and I have fallen into times where we've retreated separately and we're not as strong that way.
Yeah.
And so I think that there have definitely been times where, and also we're not perfect people. Like, we're parenting from our own insecurities or our own shame or what we've experienced. And sometimes our kids have a tendency to really prick that and to really expose that. And that seems so tender and so vulnerable that it makes us kind of claw at what's going on. And so I think you claw at the person that's the closest to you sometimes.
Yeah.
And so Stephen and I, we've definitely, and more me than him. I always admire him. And I've told him so many times, like, I'm always coaching you on how to be more emotional. Like, you should think about sending me a card, or did you think about sending me a sweet text, or, you know, did you see that I got all the laundry done and you didn't even say anything about how good it smelled? Like, you know, I've kind of coached him on these things, but never has he said to me, you know, if you were smarter, life would be so much better. Like, if you could only do geometry a little faster, or if you could do our taxes at a better level, our marriage would be better. Like, he's never required me to bring what he brings, but he's always been so open to bring more of what I need. And I admire him for that so much, because I can't be smarter. Like, I can't think the way he does. And sometimes he's super clunky at it. You know, he's like in the laundry room going, wow, that's a lot of laundry that you did today. You know, like, sometimes
it's
so endearing to me because I know he's trying.
Yeah.
So it's those moments where I think we are the best, is when we're hurt and we're vulnerable, and yet we trust each other. And that's only because of time and because we've been through so much. I know he's going to be there, and I want to always for him to know that I am too.
Yeah. Yeah. What do you think about foster families that are going through the process? I mean, we see this often in training. Foster a couple that's going through training for foster care to become foster or adoptive parents that are not on the same page when it comes to foster care and adoption.
Honestly, I mean, I would just put a brake on it.
Yeah.
I really would. That would be my counsel. Because this, if I tell you, if I say, and I know you would say this too, this is hard. There's not even a word. Like, sometimes when you're doing a deep Bible study and they take a word in Greek or Hebrew and say, there's not really a translation for that.
Yep.
There is not a translation for the word hard in the foster care world. It is so hard.
Yes.
And if you are not, if you're fighting against something else, it's almost an impossible hill to climb.
Yep. Yep. I agree. I mean, like we were just talking about, I think that there are lots of incredible single foster parents that walk through this on their own. But I think it's a completely different story if you're walking in opposition with your spouse.
Yes.
So,
I think my counsel would be, it's not a no, but it's not a not yet. I would retreat and work. And you're never going to have enough money or time to have kids. Like, that's not a thing.
Right.
But making sure that you have a level of trust to hold something so very heavy that you're both going to have to hold. I love Brené Brown. I'm a big studier of Brené Brown, and I've heard a lot of her wisdom. And one of the things she says is sometimes you have to have a conversation, because to say marriage is 50-50 is so crazy. Because sometimes you just have to say, okay, I got 20%. And your partner have to say, okay, I got you. I can spot you the rest of it today. I got 80%. So we're complete. But you have to be able to know that it ebbs and flows all the time, that it's rarely that 50-50, and to be okay with that, and to be able to communicate with each other what you need, I think it's very, very valuable.
Yeah, I agree. Well, what are some key points for listeners to take away as they work to build stronger homes in regards to their marriage? Like, how can people start today, right, to be better parents to their kids from hard places by investing in their marriage?
I think going back to those three things that I said to begin with, just understanding the temperament of the person you're married to be committed to spending time together one-on-one, and to also just to have some fun. Like, it can't all be serious.
Yeah.
Like, just silliness is so, so important to relationship.
Yeah. I love that. Well, Jennifer, thank you so much for being on the podcast today.
I love you, friend. You are just amazing. Your voice in this space is so valuable. And just to be around you is so humbling to me. You are amazing.
Aw, thank you. You are way too kind to me. I love you so much. Thank you all for joining us today. If you are enjoying this podcast, be sure to leave a rating and review. It would certainly help us out. And be sure to share it with your friends and foster care or adoption communities. I would also love to connect with you. You can find me on Instagram at Nicole T. Barlow, or you can visit my website at NicoleTBarlow.com, where I talk about health and self-care for foster care and adoptive parents. My goal is for us to support one another as we foster parent well. Let me pray for us. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for the goodness in the design of your creation. You created community and relationships for our good. Bless our marriages, Lord. Strengthen our relationships and help us to model love from you, Jesus. We love you. We trust you. In Jesus' name, amen.